This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to our weekly Q&A with Layla. Judging from the fact that there have been 7 million downloads.
Wow.
We keep reiterating that.
Uh-huh.
This is obviously a popular segment. And, you know, since we do, four other podcasts or five per week, I bet that the vast majority of the volume is due to Q&A with Layla.
Wow.
6.9 million, probably.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh, no, I don't think so.
I'm just saying.
I wouldn't think.
It is certainly, at the very least, among, if not the most popular weekly podcast we do.
I would be very happy if it is, because this is great fun, and we are compelled to bring you this information.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Hopefully news that you can use. All right, so... Gentleman with a TERP.
Yes.
Read the question.
Yeah. Nancy says, hello, Dr. Hoffman. Wondering if you can help my 70-year-old brother who had a TERP operation about a year ago for his kidney and prostate. I hear it's just a roto-rooter operation and symptoms will come back. Well, he has been exhausted for the last couple of months and sleeps 9 to 10 hours a night. Recent blood tests reveal a high enough B12, a glucose that's a little bit in the abnormal range. He has a foggy head, neuropathy, high blood pressure, previously had kidney stones, and he's been taking clay, I'm thinking bentonite, right? And was told it may have given him the high folate. He has a high folate.
Yeah, that, don't worry about it.
Nah. All they are recommending is a stress test and thinks he should cut his B12 supplement.
Oh, they always do that. When you test B12 and people are taking B12, their B12 is high, and they always say cut it because it's high. And it worries them because they don't understand.
Because it's 1600, right?
Right.
Is there a certain diet he should be on? He recently started taking charcoal.
They treat it as if it's like a high cholesterol, a high B12, like a bad thing. It's like,
my goodness.
No.
Wow. Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, this is the first I'm hearing about this TERP operation. So now he has a very foggy head, Dr. Hoffman. He's got neuropathy.
All right.
Some high blood pressure.
So,
yeah.
There recently was an article in the Wall Street Journal entitled "The Surgical Complications That Can Damage Your Brain."
Mm.
I don't know if you recall it. It was actually a month ago. William Borton had no idea his wife's colorectal surgery could affect her mind, but a day later, Judith Sue Borton couldn't remember her birthday. So there was another article also in the Wall Street Journal about basically the premise is there's no such thing as minor surgery, especially past a certain age. There's always a potential slowdown, you know, something that could trip you up, a little complication, hospital-acquired infection. You know,
how you respond to anesthesia.
How you respond to anesthesia is very important, because TERP is considered a minor operation.
Mm-hmm.
A minor operation.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a good colleague who went for a TERP at the Weizmann Institute Hospital in Israel, where they have fantastic doctors and the most mm-hmm. high-tech medicine. And the net result of that was he was in a coma for 5 years. Before he passed away.
Oh, my
it
goodness.
It just was a calamitous, you know.
Oh, that's terrible.
Outcome.
How old was he?
He was in his, I think he was like 70, you know, and he had just retired and, you know, went to Israel to enjoy his retirement and, study with religious, you know, philosophers.
Yeah.
And it was a horrible, horrible situation. So you go into that
bit of an uncertain zone when you go into surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there should not be any kind of compromise in energy or stamina after a TURP, but, you know, different people react unpredictably to anesthesia.
Yeah.
It's genetic. One of the things that we're studying, we look at people's genetic profiles, is we have a way of determining if they're sensitive to anesthesia, and we can actually predict ahead of time, like, go a little lower in some of these anesthetics, because this patient genetically doesn't have the ability to detoxify the anesthetic as well.
Those detox pathways, right.
So, you know, it's almost like surgery is, it's sort of chipping away at you a little bit, and if you don't have a lot of reserve, it can push you over into dementia or into weakness or immune suppression.
Yeah. Wow.
And so it's unclear what's going on with this guy. He might need an analysis. I mean, certainly not a vitamin deficiency that they can detect.
Yeah. Yeah. So Nancy's asking, I hear that this is just a Roto-Rooter operation and his symptoms will come back. Is there a diet?
Yeah, well, it is. It basically is a Roto-Rooter operation, and the symptoms can come back. But apparently he was already having some backup of his urine into his kidneys that was damaging his kidneys. So it became really imperative that they actually clear that out and allow the flow to resume. Because it's kind of like a, you know, if your garden hose is, you know, if you close off the nozzle, it can build up pressure and you can actually get, you know, blowback. And it can start to damage the upstream organs, which in this case are the kidneys.
He has a GFR of 60.
Which isn't bad.
Right.
That's good.
And a creatinine of 1.37.
Which is not bad. It's a little borderline, but it's not bad.
Yeah. It's not bad. And then, wow.
But, you know, why this triggered some, like, it sounds like a little dementia, right?
Could be. Could be if he's been foggy.
Yeah.
And so forth. If anything. Wow. And he recently started taking charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that for any...
I don't know. That's a non-specific remedy for, you know...
Because he had been taking clay, was told to stop. Because that was the reason, quote, end quote, for the high folate.
No, it wasn't.
No. There you go. So he's taking charcoal instead?
If somebody's low in folate, it's like, eat some clay.
Eat some clay. That's weird.
And there's a lot of, you know...
There's a lot of disinformation out there.
If I practice conventional medicine the way that some of these conventional doctors practice nutrition, I would have my license lifted right away.
Oh, my God.
It's like bad advice. Like,
yes.
Like, oh, let's see, you're having, like, agonizing chest pressure and, you know, the pain's radiating down your left arm.
ER, now.
Here, take some curcumin.
Right. Take some additional fish oil today.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know, it must be...
Oh,
yeah,
no.
You know,
that's really something.
It's like, take some magnesium.
Right,
no,
right.
Do not pass go. Go directly to the emergency room. You know, go to the... Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. They're just like... It's another situation where, you know, the first guy, they said that the, you know, on the... Side one, they said stop the nicotinamide riboside because it may be causing your transient global amnesia. I don't think so.
Right.
And here they say stop the clay because it's building up your folate, which, by the way, high levels of folate are common in people who have who take any kind of a multivitamin, or maybe they have some bacterial overgrowth in their gastrointestinal tract that also causes high levels of folate.
That's interesting.
When we see people who are not taking vitamins, they have high levels of folate. Yeah. It's being made by the bacteria in their gastrointestinal tract.
Mm-hmm.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not something to worry about. Like, nobody succumbed to high levels of folate.
Right. Wow.
Or B12, for that matter.
Yeah. Nancy, wow. Thank you. Thank you very much for your question.
Yep. Good point at which to pause, because we want to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. So here goes. Listen up.
Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a continuing free resource to you. And that's how we're going to get to 10 million downloads.
Right. That's our goal. That'll be around the corner.
Right? Before we'll you know it.
Before you know it. This comes from Daniel. This is interesting. Dear Dr. Hoppen and Layla, I'm a longtime listener and a great fan of the show. Thank you, Daniel. My question is about peptides. Most peptides we hear about in health and fitness are injectable synthetic kind like BPC-157 and other things.
BPC-157, very popular.
Yeah. Tesamorelin, 5-amino, IMQ, and so many others.
Right.
Woo!
Yeah.
But my question to you is, do you have any thoughts on the Russian peptides known as natural bioregulators? I don't speak Russian peptides.
What about the Georgian peptides?
The Georgian peptides.
What about the Ukrainian peptides?
The Tatar peptides, maybe.
Okay.
But not the Ukrainian peptides. Okay. I'm very interested in trying these and was wondering if you have heard of them or have any thoughts.
No, that's going a level deeper even than I am. Because I am looking at peptides as an interesting therapy. I'm kind of conservative about administering treatments that are a little bit, shall we say, untested and not necessarily well vetted in terms of their long-term safety.
Yeah.
But I know that it's using peptides either by injection or orally is becoming or even topically, is a popular measure among integrative doctors.
That's so interesting.
I had a couple of injury problems. Mm-hmm. And so I actually tried some peptides. I tried thymus and beta, and I tried, you know, from my swimming, and I was getting a little bit sore shoulder, and running a sore knee. And I also tried BPC-157 by injection. And I did it, and I gotta say, I didn't think the results were spectacular.
Really?
I thought I tried it on myself. And so, you know, I'm hearing a lot about them.
Yeah.
And some of the holistic doctors that I talk to are really enthusiastic about them.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about the Russian. There's something. The Russians are very innovative. You know, their integrative medicine in Russia is very interesting. And they also are a little less, they're a little more cavalier with safety. They don't have as many constraints, I think, as we do about the use of innovative or alternative things. And that could be good and bad at the same time.
Yeah.
So I cannot say that I'm sure that these... First of all, people will say, what is he talking about? What are these peptides?
Right.
Well, peptide is merely a word for a chain of amino acids.
Yes.
And so there's a whole genre of these substances that are quasi-regulated. I mean, they're not really approved as drugs, and they're being used medically. So it's kind of a shadow area of regulation. I have a feeling that it won't be too long before, you know, the FDA is sort of playing whack-a-mole, and it takes a while before they catch up to things that are somewhat illicit.
Wow.
But they may, you know, restrict or... attempt to limit access to these compounds. Some of them are stimulators of growth hormone, which could be good. but mm-hmm. it could also be bad. You know,
right.
You don't want to overstimulate.
There's a dark side to that, right?
You know, so some of them are, you know, just things that help with cellular repair.
Yeah.
And I've looked at a lot of the scientific literature on that, and some of it is not really adequately demonstrated in humans. It's based on animal studies.
Right. That's the other thing.
And
they talk about homeostasis restoration.
Oh, that's the Russian one?
Yeah, this is the Russian one. A decrease in acute respiratory disease incidence. Reduce incidence of the clinical manifestations
of ischemic. What's it called? Is there a name or a number designation for this one?
This one is peptides of pineal gland and thymus prolong human life. This was from 2003 in the Neurological Endocrinology Letters.
Yeah, you know, that's not really a top journal. And
right.
You know, it sort of speaks to an effect mm-hmm. that maybe is seen in animals or in vitro.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it gives you sort of a scintilla of plausibility.
And just that, which is very, very interesting. And since then, there was a review,
you know,
in Advances in Gerontology.
Gerontology. Sort of an interesting thing is that these things could be researched and developed by pharmaceutical companies.
Oh, sure.
But I don't even think they really come under the rubric of natural compounds because they would have to be formulated in some way. I mean, they are extracts of glands, mm-hmm. but, you know, would they not become pharmaceutical drugs if they could really mm-hmm. be well vetted and demonstrating benefit? I'm not sure.
Wow. Very interesting stuff.
But, you know, holistic doctors being holistic doctors, they tend to, you know, want to get on the bandwagon of exciting new breakthrough anti-aging therapies. And peptides have potential.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know, A, if they're as effective as they're said to be, and B, if their long-term safety has been established.
Yeah. Interesting. Daniel, wow. Thank you for that very thoughtful email. Okay.
Yeah, I wish you could offer more perspective. You know, maybe we'll have an expert on peptides come on the program, but, you know, I'm not going to pass it along uncritically. I'm going to, you know, challenge them.
Yeah. We've got an email from Valerie. Oh, this is interesting because we've been talking a lot about intermittent fasting lately, and both of us have articles about IF to some degree,
right.
You and I in the newsletter.
Yep.
For years, I've been practicing intermittent fasting.
Mine is called, repeat after me, hunger is my friend.
Hunger is my friend.
It's your new mantra.
Right, right. And I answer a question about, can I drink my morning coffee if I'm practicing IF?
Mm-hmm.
It depends.
Well, okay. It'll mess up your IF.
Right. For years, I've been practicing intermittent fasting without knowing it. I finish dinner by 7:30 or 8 at the latest and don't eat again. I don't have breakfast until 10 or 11 the next morning. Terrific. But now that I learn about it, I'm wondering if my routine is negating the benefits. Around 8 a.m., I drink a tall glass of water with a Dr. O'Hara's probiotic. Then I work out for 45 minutes and drink another tall glass of water before showering, getting ready to start the day. Does the O'Hara's interrupt? The probiotic, does it interrupt and therefore
I cannot think of how
break the fast?
In any way, you know, it's not going to mm-hmm. do that. No,
yeah.
No, it's not.
And then
you know, frankly, I mean, I also try to practice intermittent fasting when I don't have to go to work early. And I'll get up and I'll take I'll take nicotinamide riboside.
Mm-hmm.
I might take some Berkeley Health, their nitric oxide supplement,
mm-hmm.
professional
mm-hmm.
supplement. It's available on Fullscript because it helps my workouts. I think the nicotinamide riboside and the nitric oxide help my workouts. You know,
there
I get more
of
a pump on the, you know, in the strength training, and I get more endurance on, you know,
mm-hmm.
Swimming and biking, you know, spinning. Because this time of year I don't go outside.
There's literally no calories or anything.
I don't think it
should be okay.
It's not a caloric. I mean,
it's
I think
not,
people
it's not really
take
a caloric thing
so
either.
Let's talk for a minute about this. I think. And I pointed this out to you because you wrote an article about you know, using the term intermittent fasting. And
which is now getting convoluted with other things like time-restricted eating.
Right. So really we have to break it down. And there was a nice article by Peter Attia who does a very nice blog and he does a very nice podcast.
Yeah.
And he talks about intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, we need to clarify our terms here. there's several distinct things that go under the rubric of intermittent fasting. One is TRF, time-restricted feeding, which is, I mean, yeah, breakfast is breaking a fast, but it's not really like a fast in the traditional mode. Then there's like real fasting, you know, where you actually skip meals for, you know, and just drink water, you know, in a kind of a detox
for an entire day
kind of thing. And then there's, you know,
and then there's that very like
five
low
two,
calorie.
The 5-2 kind of thing where, you know, 2 days a week you might have 500 or 700 calories. And that's a form of IF. They all work towards the same goal, which is to enhance autophagy and to rest the system and reboot the system.
Autophagy and, is house cleaning of the cells and regulation of all of that. It's a house cleaning. It's
and,
a repair.
And they work
it's a
on the mTOR pathway, which is a pathway associated with longevity and blah, blah, blah. And they generate in sirtuins. And then there's, you know, then another form is just caloric restriction down the line, which is the most boring of them all.
It's like,
it's like every day eat abstemiously.
Oh, no, no, no. That will eventually slow down metabolism, besides being very unhappy and irritable.
It's a little bit like what happened, you know, when they put those people in that biosphere, you know, the Walford experiment, the where, you know, they had those people in that environment where they had to grow their own food under a bubble in the desert. And, you know, they had, like, plants generating the oxygen, and they had... You know, they breathed out their CO2, the plants would recycle. And it was all, like, it was a biosphere. It was like, and so the net effect was that they lost like 20% of their body weight because they couldn't grow enough food. And they were constantly hungry and irritable. And they were also having some psychological issues. They were, you know,
not enough amino acids.
They were at each other's throats.
Right. They're hungry.
Yeah. And so. And
they probably started looking at each other like, you would taste good with a little fried onion. And
it's like. you know, they were men and women, and they looked at each other not as sex objects, but as, you know, potential dining opportunities.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. A related question, Valerie says, very occasionally I follow Anne-Louise Gittleman's advice and take glycine before bed. I love Anne-Louise Gittleman. She's another distant mentor for
me. Yes, yes.
Taking glycine before bed will help you to stay asleep. For those of you who have trouble not necessarily falling asleep, but staying asleep, glycine is a good idea. Since glycine is
an
amino acid.
It's an inhibitory neurotransmitter. It sort of turns down the volume on your brain activity.
Right. Since glycine is an amino acid, I assume that would negate the intermittent fasting benefit. Is that assumption correct? No.
Not necessarily.
No. No. I don't think so.
Yeah.
And I think the benefits of glycine, are terrific. Valerie listens to our podcasts while she's working out. We are a constant workout companion.
Great.
That's terrific.
Great.
That's absolutely terrific.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, I could be more productive if I listen to other podcasts while I work out, but I just listen to music or, you know, in the water. I mean, I don't have one of those. There are some people have underwater, you know, headsets and they listen to music. Yeah, I just like to listen to the sound of my, you know, my swimming and the bubbles going up and the sloshing.
That's
of
very
the water.
Meditative.
It is.
You know, that over and over again sound can be very, very meditative.
Yeah, and I keep track of the laps in my head. It's like 42, 43, 44.
Sometimes the music can be distracting. And then it gets you thinking about other things, like what am I gonna eat for lunch later and stuff that
To conclude, you know, this is a challenging time of the year. What are you doing to maintain health this time of year?
Oh, I take, I always have some Viracid available in my supplement basket.
I'm finding what's helpful this season is Maitake 5X, really strong Maitake.
Okay.
It's used for cancer patients, but it also seems to work I'm knocking wood here.
Yeah.
You know, for upper respiratory infections.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. I also like to, well, I make sure that this time of year I'm never out of vitamin C.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll get a little lax. I didn't order it yet. Oh, let me do that and then whatever. But now I make sure that I'm on it and my vitamin D.
Are you 5, doing 000. Yoga?
I'm doing yoga.
Yeah.
Yes. Yoga.
Are you exercising in any other way, shape, or form?
I do strength training. I do squats. I get on the floor. I do push-ups.
Okay. Do you go to a gym to do that, or you have?
No,
you
do I do that at home.
Okay,
I do all this
because it doesn't
home.
Take a lot to.
No,
that
it
yet.
Doesn't. Jump
right.
out of bed and just do it.
Right.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the other days do the yoga and do everything else.
Yeah.
That's it. It just takes care of business.
Yeah, I'm swimming a lot. I'm doing spin classes, and I'm doing strength training, and I'm on the elliptical a little more than running. Also
that knee.
I've got a little bit of a knee thing that I'm recovering from. So I'm resting the knee, and but it's pretty much 6 days a week I'm doing something. There's
That's
a core class
good.
I do on Sundays, to and I strengthen my abdomen.
There you go. I'm more 4 to 5.
Right.
Definitely 3.
And
three is not negotiable.
Getting a lot of sleep, not doing a lot of alcohol.
That's a good one. Not doing
taking
a lot of
CBD.
Alcohol.
I'm taking CBD, and CBD is really helping me have deep sleep.
Terrific.
So,
terrific.
It's the challenging time of year, and
right.
By this time, a lot of people are getting frustrated with their New Year's resolutions, so it's,
they're not going to the gym as much. Well, wait a minute, it's only towards the end of January, but by March, a lot of people are...
It's a little artificial, this New Year's resolution. It's like you can make that resolution any day.
That's true. But start your year now.
Yeah.
Start your
clean
decade
slate.
Now.
Clean slate.
2020.
All right, so. Well, that's all the time we have for today's edition of our weekly Q&A with Layla. We hope you enjoyed it. And we invite you to send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. We'll be back next week with more of our weekly Q&A with Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks, Layla.
Thanks.
This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.